Welcome to Laundry Lowdown Podcast, where we turn up the heat on your lingerie love affair and fuel your confidence in your own skin. Our podcast is your passport to a world where lace meets sass and silk whispers secrets. We're not just here to talk about lingerie. We're here to be your sultry confidence, your intimate advisors, and your weekly dose of fabulous. Tune in every Wednesday and Saturday to join our sensational team as they navigate the intricate threads of the intimate world while spilling the saucy details about their own lives. Get ready to dive deep into the realm of lingerie, relationships, the best brands, and so much more, all served up with our signature blend of frankness and openness. You won't be disappointed.
Hi there and welcome to the Lingerie Lowdown podcast. If you're new to Lingerie Lowdown, we're the best place on the internet for you to find out all things to do with lingerie. We review hundreds of different products so you can find out what's the best buy, whether you're buying for yourself or for a loved one. The podcast is a great opportunity for us to speak to presenters or different brands or founders and deep dive a little bit more into one of the issues that we're really interested about. And today I've got the opportunity to speak to Vienne. So Vienne is the founder of Vienne Milano. Vienne, thank you so much for offering us some time today.
Oh, thank you for having me on your show. This is quite an honor.
So we're going to cover a few things about your brand, but do you want to give us a little bit of a lowdown, a little short history maybe about yourself?
Sure. So a little bit about myself. More than 10 years ago, I worked in corporate America. I worked in high tech. At the time, I couldn't find thigh-high stockings that would stay up on my leg, or stay-ups, I guess that's what you guys call it, over on the other side of the pond. I couldn't find thigh highs that would stay, and I wanted to wear the style of hosiery pretty much for every day, you know, for going to the office, to go out, etc. At the time, here in the U.S., everything that was available for thigh highs were mainly for Halloween or for costume wear. It's just nothing fantastic. There were a few brands that had something that that were more aligned to what I was looking for, but they were just very, very expensive and not reasonable for someone like me at the time to be able to afford to wear on a daily basis. And so I did a little bit of research, and lo and behold, I found that the style of hosiery that I was looking for was available in Italy. And so that's really how it all began in my journey.
So you said at the time that you were at, so were you quite sort of young?
Sure. Yeah, no, I was working in corporate America. I was, you know, in my late 20s, about to hit 30 at the time. And so, you know, I wasn't married and have kids. And it's funny you say that, because I often say, like, hey, you know, back then would be the perfect time to start my business. And so I was looking for thigh-high stockings in particular, because I was working all the time. I wanted something that would fit my lifestyle. I'm not a very tall woman. I'm 5'2", if even, but I am on heels all the time. And so thigh-high stockings allowed me to wear hosiery more comfortably. And they're very, very versatile, and I just feel great wearing them. And so all things considered, that was really kind of the background as to why I started the brand.
It sounds like it was a mixture between not finding things because they were almost like specialist items, like stockings were more to do with the season, like Halloween or for dressing up, and they weren't actually very good practically for you to be using for everyday wear.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
And then you found out as well that maybe the best place to get them made wasn't actually in the US and it was in Italy. So how did you find out there's so many places to choose from? How did it end up being Italy that you kind of discovered that?
Research. I had talked to a lot of folks, and, you know, a lot of my friends from Europe, you know, they were aware of thigh highs, although I think even to this day, they'll admit that like thigh highs still have a different connotation. However, you know, the topic of thigh highs, it's not something that is like, oh, I don't know what it is. You know, do you wear it over your head or whatever? It's still, for a lot of European women, they are aware of it. And so, you know, to answer your question, it was really a lot of research that went into, you know, which country to source from, where do I go, et cetera, et cetera.
And did you get to go to some different places, like on this journey?
Yes. Yes, definitely to Italy. But, you know, I visited Europe a few times as well.
So tell me a bit about those trips that you've had then. So it sounds like you do that quite regularly. I think on the blog it says that maybe you're able to go yearly, and that influences maybe how you might choose new items or new designs as well. I mean, we know that Italy is kind of seen as a style capital. It's got a lot of connotation between luxury as well and pleasure, because we think about all of the gorgeous food, the gorgeous scenery. It kind of builds up a really beautiful image on our mind.
Yes.
What's been the reality for you on these trips?
To be honest, you know, I've actually been personally traveling to Italy since I was 15. When I was in high school, I was in a classical choir called Camerata, and we got to spend 2 weeks in Italy with the group, and we performed all over. And so I'll never forget the first time where I was in Venice, and I just looking as a 15-year-old at that point, I was just looking at artwork and thinking, like, man, is this a painting or is this an actual 3D like piece of artwork that I'm looking at? It was just the quality and everything was just amazing. And so since then, I've had the Italian culture, their craftsmanship and their view on aesthetics and art. With that in mind, just going there and having, you know, the opportunity to be able to go there every year, and if not on some occasions more than once a year, was just like, okay, yes, finally I get to do what I really, really want to do, which is travel to Italy. So don't know if that, I know I'm like going all over the place, but in a nutshell, you know, I do get to go to Italy quite often in the past, before the pandemic. Now a little bit different. Life is in a different place, but, you know, that said, I still talk to my suppliers in Italy every day, if not, you know, it's rare that I don't speak with the folks that I work with in Italy on a weekly basis or daily basis. It would be just a strange day for me.
Is that also what shaped the name?
Yes. So, I mean, my first name is Vienne, and Milano is, you know, as you had mentioned, Milan is the capital of fashion, if you will, in Italy. And so combining those two together would be, you know, a good start. Coming up with the name is never an easy thing. I mean, even from children to business, it's just something that you spend a lot of time on. And finally, Vienne Milano, it just, I'm like, all right, I think this is it. I think this is the name that would work with my brand.
Yeah, the whole thing that sounds like a kind of glamorous alias that someone might want to adopt if they're wearing your items.
I have to say though, that from time to time when I meet folks, you know, I'm like, oh, hey, I'm Vienne, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, where's the founder of Vienne Milano? I'm like, what? like, am I not glamorous enough? Like, I go home and I think, I'm like, oh my God, should I have worn like Prada instead or whatever, you know? But it's definitely a name that I, for some reason, people just disconnect with who I am from time to time.
I was listening to some of the other interviews that I've done, and again, you know, these brands, smaller brands, they want to reflect that personality and put a bit of themselves into it. So there's been other ones where they've been, their first name has been their brand name. And I think, yeah, you combining the two kind of puts you into it, and then also the essence of Italy and the connotations of that, as well as where these products are made, where they come from. Can you tell me a little bit more about, sorry, you were going to say something.
Well, you know, it's funny you pick up on that, because yes, although my first name is on the brand, or it is part of the brand, at the same time, I myself don't personally try to push myself out there that often, just for personal reasons. I just thought, you know, growing up, my name is rather unique here in the US. And so that was really the reason why I'm like, oh, my name is unique. Milano, put them together. But personally, you don't often find me and my voice too often. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you do see it and I don't realize it because it's my voice. but, you know, I think there are some brands, I guess what I'm trying to say is where it's like all about that person, that person's big persona. I don't personally have that big personality. And so, you know, yes, it's my name, but it's not really, really my face that you see all the time, which is, I guess, part of the reason why people, when they meet me, they're like, where's the founder, you know?
I mean, also what happens as well is sometimes people are unaware how small businesses are and maybe assume that there's like a greater team and actually maybe you're doing so much in your day-to-day. Like you're probably doing the administration, all of the design kind of conversations and consultations, you're doing all of the social media. It's probably all coming from yourself. Or is there a mini team? Tell me a bit more about that.
There is a mini team. That said, though, I have to admit I'm kind of a control freak. And so, you know, if there's an aspect that I could get involved with, it's probably not a good thing. I try to like just plug myself in there. But yes, it's not just me. There's a small team that I work with as well.
And I wondered as well, like when we've just been sort of speaking about that name and the connotations of Italy, do you kind of think of the brand as an American brand or like an Italian brand?
Oh, very good question.
On that as well. We've touched upon your own journey because I've seen on your website about like Asian business and some things like that as well. So yeah, tell me a bit more about the identity of the brand in that way.
Sure. That's a fantastic question. I mean, if I could, I would say it's more cosmopolitan, right? That said, I don't think that's necessarily, when I say cosmopolitan, it probably means a bunch of things to a lot of people. I am originally from Hong Kong. I grew up in Boston, Massachusetts in the US. And so when I think of VM Milano or when I design it, it's an American brand. You know, I think it was born out of my personal American experiences. And so, yes, a lot of times people, especially when they hear Milano at the end and that I promote Italy quite often, a lot of times we do get messages or questions, hey, are you shipping from Italy? Da, da, da. My suppliers are in Italy, mm-hmm. but for the most part, you know, we have everything shipped to us in the US and then that's where we distribute. But American brand is probably the short answer to that.
So designed in Italy, made in Italy.
No. Designed in the US. I'm sorry. I'm not thinking. I'm like, no. It's designed in the US, mm-hmm. but made in Italy.
I see. Okay. And what's your design team like? And do you come up with those different designs?
The design aspect is me. Everything else when it comes to, you know, the marketing. I work with other folks, but the design aspect is me.
There was quite a feature on your blog about female designers who have sort of shaped the business and who have kind of been at the forefront. I thought that was a really interesting piece. Can you tell me a little bit more about particular designers that have inspired you?
Sure.
And who have been really significant to you from even when you were young, you know, like you said, those trips when you were younger and seeing things in art that inspired you. And then there's been these leading kind of females. Tell me a little bit more about who kind of, has excited you and inspired you.
Sure. Well, I'm going to take a step back in terms of, you know, who inspires me, et cetera, because if I think about hosiery, I think about DuPont because they were really the first one to mass produce stockings in the late 30s, 40s. And at the time, DuPont had pushed, I think, $25 million into advertising, into promoting the awareness of for women to wear stockings. And, you know, a lot of that had worked. And, you know, it became a luxury item. It is still a luxury item for hosiery. And so it wasn't until, I think, the Second World War when a lot of that nylon, that material had to be used for uniforms. And so that actually even further promoted the idea that hosiery is a luxury item. And you know, there's countless of articles and pictures of women from that era painting their legs with a line on it just to make it seem like they're wearing stockings. This is incredible.
Tying their legs with the tea bags.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's awesome. So to kind of take us back to your question, I think what's amazing for me to see today is that, you know, the awareness of hosiery, because I think between the 40s to 80s and so on and so forth, someone had used this term hosiery drought. And I think it's kind of clever because, yes, there was a point in time where I think there were fewer and fewer, at least in America, women wearing hosiery. And so I think to see more designers in the hosiery world coming up and just promoting the idea of wearing stockings, regardless, you know, for me, it's all about thigh high stockings, but to see other designers to say, hey, tights, pantyhose, they are a fabulous and a necessary piece of your wardrobe. Seeing someone else say that is awesome. And so those are really the women that are some of the creators of some of these more current brand. Those are the folks that I look up to and I'm inspired by. I would be humbled by the opportunity to meet them one day to say, hey, my God, thank you. But, you know, I think we should all work together and continue on with this vision.
And where have you been featured as well yourself? Like, there's some lovely accolades that you've had on your website. You've been featured maybe little bits of Vogue as well. Like, mm-hmm. What have been the most exciting places where you've seen your name appear?
It's so funny because I think the first time when we first launched, it was like a local newspaper, right? And so even then that, I am like, oh my God, yay, my name is on the wall. But yes, we have been in Vogue as well. I honestly, my memory is so shoddy that I can't even remember all the places that we've been in. But, you know, sometimes we work with influencers as well, and then they are featured in like certain fashion magazines and you still like get a little starstruck, honestly, when that happens. But yes, we've been in different publications around the world.
Well, it must be so exciting, yeah, to go back to, you know, that 15-year-old that's in all of us, just maybe starting to have a few little ideas that then developed into this. And yeah, it's amazing to then see that and see it in different magazines or see it on social media nowadays. I mean, that's one of the big changes that I've seen in a lot of lingerie companies is that they've kind of taken more to social media and it's the influencers that are really mm-hmm. helping their businesses. But yeah, it must be so exciting to see different people all over the world enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like an old person, I am an old person, but I feel even more old when I you know, not necessarily struggling, but just seeing how the evolution of marketing and social media and all of that is now the, you know, first and foremost way of marketing a brand. It's just really interesting and very fascinating for me.
Yeah, there's a lot of collaboration. I think it's a little bit similar to what we do at Lingerie Lowdown. I think when there's influencers, it's more like, oh, that's somebody I can very much relate to. That's somebody who lives my sort of life and buys the same things I have. And I suppose it's that kind of change that really appeals to people, is that it seems very realistic.
Attainable, yes. So, it's a thin line, though, I have to say, because, you know, while yes, it's great to say, hey, it's totally approachable, you can wear all this and look this great just like that other person, at the same time, I think for fashion, there is a certain aspect of vanity and inspiration and aspiration, if you will, that goes with the brand. And so I often feel like I have to walk that fine line and like which direction to go into more. Are we so out there that, you know, some of my customers are going to feel out of place, or are we, do we make it so approachable that, you know, it doesn't feel as luxurious as I like my customers to feel like, right? So it's definitely a case by case scenario. For me, you know, when it comes to marketing my products, I think about, okay, who is the woman that this product is designed for? And in doing that and going through that exercise, I think about, okay, If I can think about the woman that's wearing this product, this is the name that I think should be associated with the style and the type of marketing and photography that matches with that style. So it's kind of a long answer, if you will.
No, it's really good to hear about everything that you consider. I mean, thinking about the photography element of it, then do you do kind of seasonal campaigns? Do you do, how do you kind of approach all of that?
Yeah, seasonal campaigns. When I first started, this is kind of like a personal growth thing too, right? So naturally, I'm someone who's scatterbrained, who's like more creative. I can't say that like I'm a natural planner. I live, spontaneously. That was me 10 years ago. I think through having a business, I don't have that luxury. I really have to plan everything ahead. And so as a result today, I try to plan, some of the campaigns a couple months out, and at least a couple months in advance. I work with various photographers in different parts of the world. I haven't had the luxury of meet a photographer in Asia yet, but I certainly have collaborated and have worked with folks from Europe and in Italy and the UK and in the US as well.
That must really help to give it such a kind of continental look then, and to plan these different photo shoots must be so exciting. What's been the kind of most exciting one that you've done?
I think this past March, we had launched a campaign to promote women empowerment, because March, women being the month for International Women's Month, mm-hmm. We had hired a model to walk around Palermo with this like wolf dog. I wish I knew it, like the jargon for this type of dog, but this dog, let's just, or a wolf. And so it was just, for me, perfect, because I think wolves themselves have strong connection with the Italian culture, and then to work mm-hmm. with a model who wore one of our plush, thicker product as opposed to sheer lightness, which is some of our more popular product. But that style she wore, walking around, I don't know, everything for me was just awesome. And so I was really, really happy about the way that campaign came out.
Yeah, it sounds like it created a really powerful image. And I think that's what's so beautiful about lingerie, is that we can be in touch with our sense of softness and sensuality, like regardless of the gender of whoever is wearing it. You can have that element emphasized, but then also feel really strong if it's the right type of underwear, if it's the right type of hosiery, and feel like, yeah, fierceness as well combined. And that's like a really delicious combination, and it's really fun. So it sounds like it's kind of like that, and maybe a little bit, like I said, a little fierce, a little bit frightening, had a bit of edge to it.
Yes, yes. It was the first time we've incorporated an animal into the campaign. It definitely won't be our last. So,
yeah, I think it could be really good fun. I've done some photo shoots around lingerie, and it's had naturally actually had animals kind of involve themselves because we've been outside, and it always adds like a really fun edge to it. And it gets us back into the idea of nature, and again, that's, reconnecting to kind of ourselves. And that's the fun bit of wearing, wearing hold ups, of wearing stockings as well. You mentioned a little bit then about kind of what's been the bestseller, the kind of, you just sort of just briefly touched on it. You said mm-hmm. what the woman was wearing at the time, and then you referenced to it. Tell me a bit more about kind of the most popular items of your brand.
Black sheer stockings, those are definitely going to be a classic piece that it's just something that's just part of every woman's wardrobe, or man's in some cases wardrobe. Classic, it goes with everything. The classic combination is black sheer with a pair of stilettos, and I think because of that strong imagery, that if you think about stockings and stilettos, it's something that a lot of folks understand, and that's why Isabella is our bestseller in black in particular.
Actually, as well, when you were mentioning about the black, I was thinking about the depth of colour that's really important. So you said a bit earlier about the gap in the market, not finding one that fitted right, but also as well, what we can experience sometimes is stockings that just don't look right in that they don't stretch effectively on the leg. You and I are very different physically. We were going to be on the different end of the spectrums because you said you're 5'2", is that correct? Or around there?
I don't know what that is in metrics, but yes, I... 5'2".
Yeah, I'm 5'11", so we need them. So yeah, I find
so together. That, if we walk together, we would look like a foghorn leghorn and the little chicken.
We cover it all, the whole spectrum together.
Enjoying the podcast today? Before we dive back in, are you on the hunt for that perfect lingerie, hosiery, or perhaps some tantalizing kinkwear? Look no further. Laundry Lowdown, with our team of beautiful models from around the world, stands as your impartial consumer companion, dedicated to inspire, delight, and inform, with over 9 years of expertise in reviewing your intimate essentials. We've got you covered. Or should we say, uncovered? With a library of over 11,000 full-length video reviews, we provide 100% impartial insight to help you discover those hidden gems. And as a special treat, use promo code ZOEPAGE10 when you join our website today to snag an exclusive 10% discount in any of our membership plans. It's my way of expressing gratitude for being a part of this fabulous community. Simply head over to laundrylowdown.com/join and let's embark on an inspired journey together. Now let's dive back into today's podcast.
Yeah, I think that what we were kind of covering was about the sense of quality, and that also the colour is really important in that. And sometimes there's been maybe inconsistencies with other brands, and it's obviously something that you said earlier, you know, the quality was missing as well as the fit. So tell me a little bit more about how you kind of achieved
that. It's a great point. So the wonderful thing that I love about thigh highs is the sizing, because you know, when it comes to pantyhose and tights, the welt, or the middle part, if you will, is very restricting. And so it's, I feel like less flexible or less versatile for body types of all sizes. You know, when I put on pantyhose, it could come up to here because I'm so short. And for you, they might come they might not be long enough. So for thigh highs,
they can be really uncomfortable, and they can really sag for me.
Yes. So, you know, even though there are different sizes for tights and pantyhose, it's still not enough. Whereas for thigh highs, you know, we, for my brand, I offer 6 sizes now. We go from 1X small all the way to 3XL. And the larger the size, the longer they are. And so it's not just longer, but the band itself is wider. And so it's, you know, really good for someone, or we try to accommodate, if you will, for somebody who has longer legs versus somebody who's like me, more on the petite side. Just having different sizes or being able to produce more sizes has been great to accommodate different body types.
And can people contact you if maybe they fell outside of that range? I mean, because we've just talked about leg length, but what about kind of thigh width? How does that work?
Yep. So as the size gets larger, the width gets wider as well. And so, you know, when it comes to sizing, the three important numbers that matters is your height, your thigh circumference, and your weight. And once you have determined those pieces of information, you can look at our chart, our size chart, and see which size fits. Generally, and this is obviously a personal preference, I think that like sizing up is nice. I recommend women to size up. I pause on the word women because when it comes to men, on the other hand, I actually recommend sizing down because men tend to have thighs that are slightly more lean compared to a woman's. And so, you know, I recommend sizing down in that case, especially for somebody who's right on the cusp of our size chart.
That's really interesting to know. Really useful point there. What you also said, which was interesting, and we sort of had a little bit of dialogue previously about this, is the idea of which ones are the easiest to wear. So is it tights or is it hold-ups and stockings? And I kind of felt that maybe stockings would be more difficult because there's an idea that you kind of have to dress up this whole sexy kind of look to go with it. And perhaps you have to have an extra level of confidence and a little bit of worry about if they slipped down, which is obviously that is to do with the quality of a brand, isn't it? If they're not going to stay. Tights do slip down, but arguably maybe less noticeable if they slip down. But what you said was really interesting about how actually, you know, tights aren't necessarily the go-to because they're not always the most comfortable. And you've also said as well on the blog about how that it's better to enhance your figure with the hold-ups and stockings, which I didn't really think about before. And the idea that tights can kind of flatten you. So tell me a bit more about the difference there and that actually wearing good quality ones, like the ones you produce, it is a lot more kind of easy, confidence kind of building, and maybe something that people will change to their go-to instead.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg, right? Do you have confidence and then you wear stockings, or do you wear stockings and then become more confident? And I certainly believe that if you wear stockings, you will become more confident because, you know, you don't have that, I don't know, you don't feel like you're held back. And then all of a sudden you look at your legs and they look just amazing. And so it's one of those, like, you look good and then you feel good, as opposed to you feel good and then you look good. I mean, it's how it depends on how you view it. And certainly there's different situations for those, you know, where it's the other way around. But anyway, when it comes to stockings, I personally love to actually wear stockings underneath pants, or I guess trousers, as you would call it. The reason is because it just feels so good. I'm in the Northeast. It's, you know, it's April and I'm still in a jacket, sitting indoor. And so, you know, it's chilly most of the time, where I am. And so, wearing stockings underneath pants or wearing stockings with a skirt or a dress is just something I truly enjoy. And I think once you do that, you feel good because you look good as well.
And then it becomes sort of part of your everyday. When you said about wearing them under pants and you said stockings, this is with the garter belt or hold-ups with the silicone?
I have hold-ups.
Yeah, because I did think, oh, how would you incorporate any of that? So it's with the silicone band and it's the hold-ups and stay-ups, and you could wear them under pants. Interesting.
Yeah, you know, so yes, we do sell stockings that are meant for garter belts, but honestly, that was really something that I had introduced into the collection a lot further after we launched. A lot of folks have asked, oh, do you need a garter belt with hold-ups or thigh highs? And the answer is no, you don't need it. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, a lot of times women want to feel celebrated as well. And so they may wear thigh highs or stockings for photos. Mm-hmm. And so, or for special occasions. Mm-hmm. And so as a result, we started to add stockings to be worn for a garter belt into the collection.
Mm-hmm. And you've got a number behind you of feet upside down in the
legs.
Air.
Yes.
And these are, what are these? So you tell us a little bit more. I mean,
we're
only here. Some of us may be able to watch this, but people might just be listening as well. So I can see, yeah, a range of a few feet with different designs.
Yes. So these, you know, this is some of the colors. This is matte. Oh, you can't see it over here. Whatever. Matte stocking. Oh, well, here we go.
Oh, which one is that? What
this
color
is Claudia. Claudia in orchid purple.
This is one that I reviewed. So I was sent by Lingerie Lowdown those ones, and I loved them. I thought that they were a brilliant color. They were great on my leg. As I said earlier, you know, I'm tall girl, long legs. They were just really, really fun and gave me such a fun sense to wear. Like, I felt really playful. I was able to instantly match them with a really cute skirt. I actually live in a city which is really casual. very, very casual for going out. Like most people always wear trainers, and it would have looked fine with trainers as well. They were a gorgeous color. That orchid's really good fun.
Yeah. This is maybe more telling of my personality as well. While I love sheer stockings and it's just very, very feminine, I also really love patterns as well. So you have something like this, which is, this is the herringbone design.
And it gives such a different feeling, doesn't it? Like that bright orchid matte color is like, gives you one kind of day that you could have. And then that kind of look is really nice as well. Very kind of more like tailored and a different kind of feel, isn't it?
Yep. Yep. I personally love adding a pop of color. Again, back to personal preference. I think pop of color is better if when paired with a matte style. So yes, we do have sheer stockings in different colors as well, but I think the more vibrant colors usually show up more with matte stockings. The styles behind me is really for me to see, okay, this is something that I want to do, or I want to add to it, etc. It's inspiration, and it also showcases our hosiery for conversations like this.
So we're just wondering what kind of like ideas for new designs.
More colors, more colors and embellishments. I think, after the pandemic, we're seeing more and more folks willing to spend a little bit more on themselves and just being bold, because we're no longer hiding ourselves. We want to come out and we want to, be looking like the most important and most glamorous woman in the room. And so I want to continue to help that woman to feel like she is the most important, the most beautiful woman in the room by different embellishments and different more designs by adding that to the collection. So that's definitely something you'll see more of in the coming months.
Perhaps we're so done with working from home in pajamas. We would like to zhuzh up our legs a little bit more. Embellishments, could that mean things like rhinestones attached?
Yes. That's definitely something we've played around with already, but I think, it really opened up Pandora's box in terms of what are some of the other types of rhinestones that we could add, the colors and the shapes, etc. I've always said that like legs are like a canvas to your style and taste, if you will. And so for someone like you, I think 50% of your body are legs, and that's a lot of real estate for you to showcase your personality. Hosiery is an excellent way, whether be it pantyhose, tights, or thigh highs. Although I obviously have a stronger preference for thigh highs. It's definitely a way for you to showcase your personality and playfulness as well.
Oh, absolutely. The playfulness. I think that's just one of the best things about wearing hosiery and lingerie. And totally agree with what you said about kind of with my height. It's a way to style a whole outfit, but it's only one piece of it. And actually, when you scrunch it up in your hand, a very small piece of it. But, that's the main focus, like a classic kind of black outfit or a wrap dress or maybe some like little shorts or something. And then the focus being on the leg. It's a really fun look. Really good fun. I also, I wonder if it's the same one. I saw recently on your Instagram, really, really vivid, like bright blue. Is that also the same? Is that the Claudia? As well?
Yes. Claudia in, we call that royal blue.
That was really vibrant, really gorgeous color. What colors do you have at the moment? You've got the orchid, that's that gorgeous purple, the red, is that right?
What the scarlet colors? Red. When it comes to color, the color that we dye the most is black. In fact, when I first started working with Italian suppliers, I was often told that, like, if you're going to sell to Americans, Americans only buy the color black. And I thought, how could this be? I consider myself an American. I like to wear different colors. Mm-hmm. But that said, though, there was a lot of truth in that statement, which is black is predominantly the color that most people buy. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to launching or adding more colors to the collection, we you know, I tend to select certain colors that I think, okay, this is going to look amazing on a pair of legs. So to kind of give some background into that, this year, I think the Pantone color is peach fuzz, right? I personally, I'm not quite sure if that's the color that is going to look amazing on legs. So that may be a color that I'll skip. But there are other times that there are colors that are, I think, more emotional for a lot of women and men. And magenta, for example. Yeah, that was the color for us last year. And I produced a lot of matte stockings and sheer stockings. We added that to the band in magenta. So, you know, when it comes to colors, it's more of an art than a science, for my business, where I tend to look at, okay, what are some of the, well, so what's going on? Let's take a look at what's going on. Where are people at? What's the trend? How are my customers responding to XYZ? And so, it's a lot of factor that goes into color.
Mm. And the colors that you use to maybe talk about skin tone, they're quite interesting. So I have here, this is one review waiting to happen from Lingerie Lowdown. I have a pair of Luana Sheer, mm-hmm. and it is hazelnut. So it looks quite like skin color. Is that right? So yes. Tell us about, is this kind of maybe one of these everyday entry level for somebody who's maybe new to stockings that might want to try this kind of thing? It looks like quite a wearable color because it looks like it's going to go nicely on the skin.
So Luana is their stockings for garter belts. And so, you know, I hope you have a fantastic garter belt available to wear. You know, I definitely have customers who prefer to wear those with the garter belt every day. For me, mm-hmm. garter belts are a little bit cumbersome, and I'm not the most patient person in the world.
And it needs to be a really good one, because you're right. I do have a selection. We review so many different items, including different garter belts, and I have differing qualities of them. Sometimes I need ones that have lots of straps, like more vintage styles. And that's led me to think that sometimes I need 6 straps, but actually a very, you know, very good ones. You don't need them. You can go exactly. with a 4 strap, but it's got to be good. And it's so, so annoying when it pings. It's always the back ones, isn't it, as well?
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, it's personal preferences. You know, some folks, I've had customers who are like, I love the garter belts with the 6 buckles, mm-hmm. or, you know, the suspenders.
Different words, isn't it? Do you know where that comes from? Because I noticed that as well. We say garter belt, we say suspender belt. But it's the same thing.
It is the same. Yeah, you know, I wish I, you know, that's a great topic for a blog post. You know, I don't have the answer for that. I think it just ultimately boils down to Americans wanting to do things a little different, right?
Like the pants and the trousers, isn't it?
Some
going into a completely different thing.
Yes.
And stockings and tights is actually a thing right now in media, isn't it? About celebrities wearing tights as trousers.
Yes. We have a blog post about that too. You know, I think some lexicons, like for Americans, was a deliberate decision on choosing a different word, right? Like there's the Merriam-Webster dictionary, and then there's the Oxford. And I think, you know, historically the Webster guy had decided, no, we are going to be a different country altogether. Forget the Brits. We're going to have different, you know, vocabularies altogether. Did that impact garter belts and suspenders? I'm not quite sure. Even going back to the language of stockings itself, there's so many different vocabularies in that subject where it's just very, very fascinating for me. Anywho.
It's very confusing for people as well. We try really hard because we've actually at Lingerie Lowdown.
Everybody calls them something different, you know. We try to translate some things into Spanish, and I don't speak Spanish, but I think different Latin American countries have a different name for thigh highs itself. And so it's just English is already difficult as it is. I decided, you know what, I don't need to open another Pandora's box here.
One of our presenters has already reviewed these and loves them. So that's some lovely feedback for you to kind of hear. So yeah, tell us a little bit more about this particular one then. You said it also got this kind of wide band as well. Is this a feature that's quite typical? I noticed that you've got some very pretty bands.
So these are for garter belts. And, you know, we actually, starting this year, we'll have a couple more styles that are just meant for garter belts. So what you notice there is that top part, it's wide because you got to clip the garter belt onto it. But when it comes to thigh highs or holdups, that part would have the silicone band around it so that it stays up on your leg.
So does that mean that can be a bit different then?
Yes.
So it can be maybe a little bit thinner?
It could be. But, you know, this is yet another one of those, like, depends a personal preference. I find that a lot of Americans like the lace top bands. There are definitely some brands that focuses on the solid band, and that's the design aspect. For me, I go back to, okay, who's the woman that's going to wear this style? And what kind of band would she prefer, along with the name and everything? In my collection, you'll find that there are going to be different bands for different styles.
So best things to sort of have a good overview and pick out a few that you like. If you were going to recommend a couple of items for somebody who's maybe new to buying this, or maybe they're buying for somebody else, maybe a new partner or something like that, and they're not too sure what to go with, what would you say is kind of like an easy win, like a good one to start
Isabella.
With?
Isabella is a best seller. It's our best seller, right? And so that would be something that I would definitely recommend. But if you're like, hey, I'm actually new to hosiery, period. Mm-hmm. Regina is also a good start to begin. The base for Regina and Isabella are pretty much the same. It's 15 denier sheer stockings. The only difference is the band. Regina has the solid band with the silicone inside, and Isabella has the floral band. I think because Isabella, you know, being more, when you think about classic stockings, the I think the floral part of it sticks more into people's mind.
Yeah.
However, I say that as a company that's based in the US, I think when I talk to our European customers, a lot of times folks prefer the solid band. But, you know, to each its own, to each their own. And so it really depends on what you like. Regina and Isabella is what I would recommend to start.
Right. So if you're new and you're thinking, I just need to get something that I feel is going to cover it all, those are really good starting points.
Absolutely.
Just in point as well about the differences of when you're an international brand of like different areas of the world preferring different things. That's something that other companies have talked to me about, very much certain style choices that they can see globally, which is quite interesting. I suppose we kind of go with what we know in our culture a bit.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it reflects on the culture and the history, everything, preferences. You know.
And if somebody was really confident and maybe they've got lots and lots of different bits of hosiery and lingerie and stockings, what would be something that would be really exciting for them to purchase from your brand that they would
I think Ludovica is the one that I would recommend. That's actually one of my favorite. I mean, I love them all, but Ludovica is something I personally really enjoy because the band is like 5 inches long. And so I'm going like this. I'm like, yeah, move my finger up. and the reason is because when that tall band wraps around your thigh, it just feels super like sexy and confident. And it's just really, really nice. I'm on the boat of not necessarily showing the band. Sure, you know, there are definitely some people who think that showing the band is part of why you wear thigh highs. I'm not sure if I believe in that, but especially as I believe that wearing thigh highs is something you can do for every occasion. However, when it comes to wearing Ludovica, I think it's meant for, you know, a ballroom gown, a dress, you know, something that you would wear for a wedding, because in those occasions you would probably wear something more formal and your dresses is probably more longer. And so that's why with a longer dress, you could have a pair of stockings with a taller band.
Yeah. And is it quite sleek then if it was to go with formal wear that can be quite sheer itself?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Ludovica is only available in sheer stockings.
Mm-hmm. And the band, is that kind of a plain or is it got a little pattern to it?
It's lace. It's 5 inches of lace, tall lace.
Yeah. So a very classic look, very elegant.
I would have it behind me now that I think about it, but I think because the mannequin legs, they are shorter than most legs compared to a human being. So the band, if I had it on the mannequin, all you see is the band and not much of the stockings. Yes. So
typically they kind of, they're about that long, and then there's all that extra bit that you have to tuck into the top of the thing, isn't it?
And you can't, because the top part is the lace, so you can't really tuck the lace in because you want to showcase that. So I wouldn't have it, but I think I would have to maybe customize the mannequin leg or something. I don't know.
You might have to if that's one of the showpieces, though.
Yeah.
Like that bit. You're really, and I could see you light up a bit when you spoke about the band as well, because you were sort of saying this is the bit that makes you feel sexy and makes you feel connected to it. So it does sound important to show that.
There's just something about the band. You know, I really think that when you wear thigh highs, it's like a boost of confidence. You know, that band. I don't know.
Oh, I agree. I think it's the sensuality of it, it's the feeling of it, and feeling like you are aware of it. Where that it's going to stay in these good quality ones, because we don't want it moving, but just having that difference of awareness. Yeah, totally. That's what kind of connects you to it, makes you flow through the day a little bit differently. You said a little bit about the history of the brand and you kind of growing up, and I'm wondering how you're managing it now and how you kind of connect it to your home life, because I know that you're and how you juggle all of that and what that experience is like.
You know, when I first started, and I had talked a little bit about this already, but when I first started, I was not married. I didn't have kids. So I thought this would be a perfect time to start a business, because once I am married and I have kids, it would be very difficult. But in retrospect, I actually think that's actually really silly for me to think that way, because now that I do have kids and I am married, I my mind is even more resilient, I feel like, and stronger than ever. And so when I am able to accomplish certain hurdles, it's like, oh my God, I could do anything, you know? They were never a reason why anybody, for that matter, could not accomplish anything, or cannot accomplish things in general. In fact, I think my kids have become a reason for me to do certain things and to, you know, to do even more, or to make more ambitious goals, if you will, because I want them to know that they can do whatever they want, and ultimately accomplish big things as well if they set their mind to it. And I want them to see me being able to do that.
Yeah, and to create your own brand, that's such a huge thing to show. Like, this is how you can live your life. You don't have to follow other people's paths necessarily. You can have that bravery if you see something and think, oh, I've got a really good idea. Mm-hmm. And then see it. Like we said earlier at the start, see that name, see that product in places and how amazing that is. And seeing the difficulties of when you run a business and being able to ride through those challenges, you know, things like COVID and general things with risk taking that you have to do around businesses. It's a great example to set.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Vian. And yeah, it's great that we've just heard about different bits about the brand and some good pointers for anyone who's listening who maybe wants to make a little buying a decision and have a little browse. But in order to do that, they're going to need to know how to find you. So do you want to tell us a little bit about how to find you on social media, a bit about the website, and then we can leave it at that?
Sure. Yep. My website is viennmilano.com. That's V-I-E-N-N-E-M-I-L-A-N-O.com. We deliver pretty much anywhere in the world unless there's some kind of sanction that's going on. But, you know, I'm also happy to answer any emails or questions that you may have about thigh-high stockings, pantyhose tights, and whatever. You know, I've gotten all kinds of random questions in the past. And so, you know, I could be reached at Ciao, that's C-I-A-O, at vnmilano.com. Ciao is hello and goodbye in Italian.
Of course. Oh, well, I guess ciao it is then. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing with us.
No, thank you for having me. This has been delightful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Laundry Lowdown podcast. We hope you enjoyed the chat and are feeling ready to express yourself and your unique style. Just a heads up, we release a new episode every Wednesday and Saturday, so you won't want to miss out on the fun. Keep embracing your confidence and celebrating your beauty. It's what makes you, well, it's what makes you you. This has been Laundry Lowdown's podcast, your go-to source for all things lingerie, relationships, top-notch brands, and so much more. Find us on Rumble, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, or come and join our website. Stay fabulous, and we'll catch you soon.